One sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes...
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Genesis chapter 17, please. And verse 19. Now there's a man and woman that have gotten married. He's a rich man. And the Lord said to him one day, "Arise, Abraham, and get thee out of Ur of the Chaldees, and go to a place which I'm going to show you after a while." Now, it may not mean much to you today, because when people get ready to move, they write the Chamber of Commerce. Brother Abraham didn't have anybody to write. I mean, that's the reason he's going to have to go by faith. The Bible said by faith, Abraham, when he was called, went out to a country which he should after receive as an inheritance, and he obeyed, the Bible said. And the Bible said he was looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God. By faith, the Bible said, he dwelt in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him also of the same promise. And he didn't see where he was going, but he knew he was on the way. He had a lot to give up, more than most of any of us have ever given up. He gave up the riches of Ur of Chaldees. He gave up, no doubt, the fame and fortune and the recognition that goes with the riches. And he probably gave up a lifetime of friends and went out. Now then, God said, "Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of a great nation." You know how many children he had? None. And he's about a century old. Brother, he's bordering on the 100th birthday. His wife, Sarah, is 90. And God waited, and listen, brother, God, if I could say it reverently, waits for us to die so he can do something with us. He waits. I've never seen a cause in my life that ever amounted to anything till it died. And I want you to see in the message some of the things. He said Abraham had a visit from heaven, didn't he? And God said unto Abraham, verse 15, God said to Abraham, "As for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarah, but Sarah, S-A-R-A, not Sarah I, but Sarah, shall her name be, and I'll bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be of her." Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear?" And Abraham said unto God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." Isn't that the human side of Abraham? We've already got a son. We've got it all planned out, Lord. You know, Sarah came to me one day and said, "Abraham, honey, I sure don't want to turn back or give up, but it looks to me like we're going to have to help God out." Doesn't that sound like the modernists? Amen. Abraham said, "What are you driving at?" Said, "Well, as much as I hate to say it, and you know I'm your wife and how I love you, and I know you love me, but it seems to me that it's just about too late now for me to be the mother of a great nation. And I guess the second best would be for me to get one of my handmaids, and you go in unto her, and And Sarah might have been reasoned with by the devil and said, isn't it going to be an embarrassing situation? Y'all have already left Ur of the Chaldees. And now then, suppose they send a representative over here to get a report from Ur of the Chaldees, and we haven't got nothing. I mean, we don't even have a son. Now, how are we going to be the father of a great nation without any children, Abraham? And said, maybe the Lord, maybe the Lord wants to just run in a substitute. Brother, God never runs in a substitute. There is no substitute for right. There is no substitute for the will of God and the plan of God. He never changes his plans after he makes them. And Abraham listened to his wife. I'm not saying that there's never a time when a man ought to listen or not to listen to his wife, but this is one time he made a mistake. And I tell you what, when women begin to start religions, they always are wrong. Amen. You look at the false religions that have been started by women. Look at the little old books they've written, you know. And the people say, well, we don't think it's the Bible, but we believe it's as sacred as the Bible. I don't. Get mad at me all you want to, buddy. God didn't call women to write books of religion for people to go by. Oh, but you say, we're not going with this. We just kindly helped explain the Bible. The Bible don't need any help. Amen. Holy Spirit will take care of all that. Amen. All you need is some help of the Holy Spirit to explain what God and reveal. Brother, it's not an explanation, it's a revelation. Amen. And that's what gets a lot of people in trouble. They're trying to get smart enough to explain the Bible. They won't explain away the miracles. And if they can't explain them, they explode them. Amen. And if they can't do them, they destroy them. We'll come to that in the message. Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Lord, why can't you accept what we got going? We got it all started now. You know Ishmael's a good boy. He's a fine boy. And Lord, you could use him, couldn't you? And Lord said, no, I couldn't use him. Never did intend to use him. I mean, that's your plan, not mine. I don't use man's plans. Amen? I wish you knowed what I was talking about. God doesn't use my plan. He uses his own. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. Amen. That's my word this morning. That's my word. A son indeed. Brother, I'm interested in two words put together, and that's indeed. Yes, sir, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And so he said, I want you to know, Abraham, that Sarah indeed. And I shall call his name Isaac. And I'll establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. The Bible said, through faith Sarah also received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful. Now, brother, if you want to judge God, just judge him faithful here. Amen. She judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, sprang there one him as good as dead. That's right, because Sarah was dead. Abraham was dead. And I don't know what that means altogether, but he said, and there sprang there one in him as good as dead. I just imagine, I don't know, but a little old Isaac might have been born by dead. I mean, the devil came along, had to kill him, said, I got to kill that boy. I mean, he's going to give me so much trouble. I mean, he's God's planned servant, and he's going to be the head of the race, and I'm going to kill him. And so, and him as good as dead. Therefore, as many as the stars of the sky from multitude, and as many as the sand of the seashore, innumerable. Bible said these all died in faith. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off. And embrace them and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. Amen. For they that say such things declare plainly and that they seek a country. Amen. And truly, if they'd been mindful of that country from whence they came, they might have had opportunity to return, but now they seek a better country. Amen. That is a heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to call their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Amen. Brother, we're a people looking for a better country. And really, I mean, on the human side, just about anything would be better than this thing down here. Amen. I mean, if I find another country, it'll be better than this one. But it's got to be a spiritual country. I'm looking for a city where there's no cemeteries. I'm looking for a city where there won't be any little crippled children standing on the playground wishing they could run and play. I'm looking for a city where there'll be no hearse wheels to gently crawl down those golden streets. Brother, I'm not satisfied with what I see down here. I'm looking for a city that you can't see, but you'll get there after a while. Looking for a city. Looking for a city. Well, let's go to Joshua chapter 7. Somebody's in trouble now. I mean, he's really in trouble. Indeed, he's in trouble, brother. And when you commit these deeds of sin, you'll be in trouble. And this is Joshua. We're fixing to get a whole family wiped out now. Joshua chapter 7 and verse 19, 20, and 21. You know, God said, Joshua, your prayer meeting's over, son. Get up and go search your tents. This is what the average preacher dreads to do. It's easy to preach and then search the tents. It's easy to pray and then search the tents, huh? Oh, brother, when you start searching, they said, you're meddling. Said, you got your nose in my business, yeah? Brother, you got to search the tent sometime. And he got down there, and verse 19, Joshua said unto Achan, my son, that's tender. He's firm, but he's tender. He said, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him. Yes. And tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, there it is, I've sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. Notice verse 21, boys, and there it is, when I saw. I got in trouble for what I looked at. Here it is, and he's just the same thing. I looked, I lusted, and I took. Amen. And Joshua said, and that's all it's going to take to wind you and your little family up. There's going to be a whole family wiped out now. Achan, you've got to go. Oh, I know somebody say, well, Brother Olof, don't you think God was cruel? That's what they say about us, you know. Don't you believe God was brutal? Why, he killed Achan. I know he did. But did you ever stop to think how many soldiers got killed and didn't get back alive, and some wife and little children were without a daddy? Yeah. Have you ever thought about the dishonor and the bad repute brought upon the army of God after they'd walked across the wilderness and got over there? And have you ever thought about the rumor that went across the country that the people of God had been defeated? Have you ever thought about the defeat and about the folks that turned their back on him and ran, and many of them got killed coming back down to the camp, and said, you see, dear friends, there's a principle at stake.
Amen.
And God said, Abraham, and Joshua said, Abraham, you'll have to go. And he killed him. And he said to his wife, Ms. Achan, you'll pay the price also. He brought you something, didn't he? And you see, to me, that'd be a good message on the influence of a husband. Now, she might have got saved and spared, and her children also, if she and those little children had grabbed that Babylonian garment, that wedge of gold, and took it up to Brother Joshua and said, look here. Captain, your honor, wasn't it commanded that there be no loot brought back? Well, he said, indeed. He said, well, my husband, I'm sorry to confess, I tried to get him to bring it. He wouldn't do it. I brought this up here. And I tell you, I don't want it in my little old tent. I don't want to be to blame for the murder of my fellow soldiers that came back. And I heard my neighbor weeping last night, way into the night, because her husband got killed, and my husband's to blame for it. Oh, she didn't face it, did she? But a husband misled her,
right.
Made a crook out of her and a thief out of her.
Amen.
That's not all of it. Old General Joshua, he said, bring your boys now. Bring your boys. Those little old aching boys come walking out. Said, Mr. Joshua, he ain't going to kill us, are you? He said, yes, son. Wipe out the whole family. That sounds brutal, doesn't it? Brother, let me tell you something. We need some brutal preachers today.
Amen.
Yes, we do.
Amen.
We need some preachers that'll have no mercy on the devil and sin. Amen. Welfare department, anything else that gets between us and God. We've compromised and tried to go easy and get adjusted. There is no adjustment to make with sin.
Amen.
We need some merciless preachers. You've heard me say, you know what a prophet is? A prophet's a man that just don't care. He just stomps across the stage of action and lets the chip fall and the sawdust and shavings go where it wants to be. Somebody said you're going to hurt the whole care. Somebody said that you don't get the whole care. Brother, we need some preachers that don't care today. Don't care about the deacons, don't care about the organization, don't care. Don't care about society, don't care about nothing except pleasing God. That's the kind of preacher you need. That's all a prophet was back in those days. Elijah down on the mountaintop and hollered, "Come on down!" Brother, we need preachers today that'll be real prophets of God in this closing hour. Let's read another verse. This is something. Over in Numbers chapter 22. You know, I've found in the Bible every answer to every question. Got on the radio, somebody did, and said, and they had one of these talk deals and panels, you know, and they said there has never been a known cure for dope addiction. You know why they said that? They just don't know the Lord.
Amen.
You know what dope taking is? It's sin.
Amen.
You know why they haven't found any cure? They haven't been around Jesus lately.
Amen.
And they get on the radio and television. Now then, they're fixing to start homes all over the country, the tune of billions of dollars, you see. And they're going to call them. We've had coffee houses and halfway houses, and I don't think they even go halfway, really.
Amen.
Brother Jesus said, "I'm the way."
Amen.
Chapter 22 of the book of Numbers, and we'll begin at verse 37. 22 and verse 37. And Balak said unto Balaam, "Did I not earnestly send unto thee to call thee? Wherefore camest thou not unto me? Am I not able indeed to promote thee to honor?" Wouldn't you like to get the honors that I've got ready for you? Now, if you go up there to the 18th verse, Balaam answered, and he tried to make a good stand. And sometimes our blow is more than our goal. And he said, Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, "If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more."
Amen.
Now, that sounds good, doesn't it? And preachers, there's one thing to preach good, and as Brother Johnny said, there's another thing to live good. And so the practicing, but Balaam really looked like he kind of went blind. And he went in the way, and he was riding that old donkey, you know, and the donkey had more vision than he did. Because the preacher was, I think, looking toward the reward. And the donkey was just traveling along the road, and he saw the angel with a drawn sword. And the Lord used that donkey to protect the preacher. God uses a lot of simple things, doesn't he? You think about giving a donkey more vision than he did the preacher. And then protecting him. And then, you know, in another instance, God called his preacher back by the crowing of a red rooster. God's used simple things, see, and to remind us. And so, I want you to notice another verse over here, though, in chapter 23, verse 19, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, you listen to me, he said. That's what the word behold means. I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. I have no reverse on God's machine. What he's done, he's already done. Now turn with me, please, to the book of John. The book of John. I'm going to raise some questions here that ought to show us what's going on today. John chapter 6 and verse 55. And really, this is the answer to it and all of our needs. 55, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Actually, if I could say it lovingly, we're to eat and drink Jesus.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Why, he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. We need to feed on Jesus. That's right. Just feed on him. Need to drink the water from the rock. That's Jesus' water. And he said, if you really want something indeed, you'll have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Now then, turn to chapter 7 and verse 26. Chapter 7 and verse 26. In the book of the Gospel of John. Verse 26, but lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say unto him, do the rulers know indeed, that this is very Christ? Let that soak a minute. Do the rulers know Jesus? Do they realize that this work is the work of Jesus? Now, this is the issue right here, fellas and friends. Do the rulers know that this indeed is Jesus and that he's the Christ? Do the rulers, don't they know? Don't they know that this indeed is Jesus and his work? And you know, the thing that you got to be able to recognize is who's doing it.
Yes.
The text over in Psalm 109, I believe it was, he said, that they might know that thou, Lord, hast done it.
Yes.
But unless they know the Lord, they won't know who's doing it.
Yes.
And here's our battle. Here's our battle. Never have we had trouble. Now listen to me carefully, because this is the bedrock of the whole thing. I've never had any trouble with any born-again, spirit-filled Christian in getting things done for God. It's always coming from, I don't care what religion they've got, it comes from unbelievers. Unbelievers. Somebody raises a charge against me or the enterprises immediately. How no? If you really know the Lord, you'll recognize the Lord's work when you see it.
Yes,
if you don't, and we're going to come up to another verse in just a moment. Turn with me, please, to chapter 8 and verse 31, book of John. Chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed? Now, what makes you an indeed disciple? Continuing in the Word of God.
Yeah.
And so there's one book that's mixed up in this, and that's the old book called the Bible.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, if you want to be perfectly honest, that's the book that most of your church members despise, neglect, and reject.
That's right.
You show me a man who'll stay with the book, I'll show you a man who'll live a clean life and have power with God and be different and peculiar.
Yeah.
Bible's a peculiar book. Misunderstood. And if the Bible's misunderstood by the world and you live by the Bible, you're going to be misunderstood by the world.
We're happy you joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. The message today entitled, Indeed. Now to receive the message, ask for offer number RO3454 and include $10. And we'd like to have today's date and the call letters to the radio station that you're now listening to. Here is the address, the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403.
and to use your credit card, dial toll-free 1-800-772-7507. The July offer for the month is a music CD called A Message in Song. The uniqueness of this CD is it's all songs that were recorded at Revival Brother Ruloff was holding. The Family Altar Quartet was also singing some of the songs that you hear, such as I'll Have a New Body, Let the Lower Lights Be Burning, Oh, What a Savior, and many, many more. To receive this CD, ask for offer number 3678. And to help with postage and shipping, we ask for at least $10. Now, order by credit card, dial toll-free at 1-800-772-7507. Or write us at the Ruloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. And be sure to check the website now. That's www.roloff.org. And you'll find some interesting facts on that particular website. So now the offer today is A Message in Song, the offer number 3678, and include $10. We want to reach out to you to help us during the summer months as we hesitate in dropping some radio stations, but we're just about forced to do so. We need to hear from you today. Call us at 1-800-772-7507 or write us at the Ruloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. This is Gene Price speaking for the staff, wishing you a wonderful day. Looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by Blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul and He made the wounded whole. By the waters of Blue Galilee, they sat at His feet and they looked in His face, content in His presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea.